Today, politics, pomp, and promises to ease the pressure on pocketbooks. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We start here in the UK, where in about half an hour and just a few miles away from where I'm sitting now, Prince Charles will officially open a new session of Parliament. Notably, though, it's the first time in more than 60 years and only the third time in her seven-decade reign that Queen Elizabeth will not be delivering what's known as the Queen's Speech. The decision came after Buckingham Palace announced the 96-year-old monarch is suffering mobility issues. But this is a show about business and economics, so why are we talking about politics and the monarchy? Well, the ceremonial event is full of all the royal pageantry you might expect, but it also outlines the government's legislative priorities for the year. And this year, the cost of living crisis will be front and center, as the BBC's Adam Fleming explains.
I think what is interesting is the language around the speech. The government says it wants to help people in the UK with the cost of living. However, there will be no direct help for people with their energy bills or their grocery bills, because the government's view is that the best way you help people in the medium to long term is by reforming the economy so that it's more competitive, so there is less bureaucracy, people have higher skills, so they can get better paid jobs. So in other words, Boris Johnson's government is not really in the mood for handing out money to people anymore.
So the elephant sort of in the chamber this morning is going to be the absence of Queen Elizabeth. How significant is it that she's sending Prince Charles to deliver the speech, who will also be accompanied by Prince William?
The Queen did miss the state opening of Parliament twice before when she was pregnant, but that was decades and decades ago. On the other hand, it is hugely significant because it's another moment where the Queen is withdrawing from her public duties because as a 96-year-old, she just cannot do them all.
And I think it's important to note, too, that this speech is basically what the government's priorities are. How is this being received by the opposition? What happens now? It's up to Parliament now to do something with these proposals, isn't it?
Yeah, so the opposition Labour Party here in the UK are already talking about missed opportunities. Their flagship policy for helping people with their energy bills is what they call a windfall tax. So a tax on the excess profits of the oil and gas generating companies, which they would then use to help people get money off their bills. And what follows this Queen's speech is 6 days of debate with a different subject each day. What I like to do with the Queen's speech and the briefing pack that comes with it, which is 140 pages long, is just print it off because it's a roadmap for all the arguments I will be covering as a political journalist over the next year or two.
Adam, 140 pages. I think we need to send you some more coffee over at Westminster.
Always welcome.
The BBC's Adam Fleming for us. Thanks so much for breaking this down for us.
You're welcome.
Checking the numbers now, it was a mixed session in Asia overnight as Hong Kong's stock index played catch-up to a sell-off that gripped global markets yesterday. The Hang Seng fell as much as 4% before clawing back some of those losses to end down 1.8%. Despite ongoing concerns about weak Chinese data and global growth, the Shanghai Composite Index closed up 1%. And here in Europe, benchmarks in London, Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan are up in the 0.8% to 1.7% range. Ukraine's economy, meanwhile, is forecast to shrink 30% this year due to Russia's invasion. That's according to the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. The BBC's Theo Leggett has been digging into the latest numbers there.
The EBRD says the war has put Ukraine's economy under enormous stress. It's forced between 30 and 50% of businesses to close their doors and left half of all employees without jobs or income. Tax revenues have plummeted, it adds, and inflation has risen sharply. However, the bank believes that if massive reconstruction efforts are able to take place next year, there could be a dramatic recovery, with growth of 25%. Russia, meanwhile, is entering a deep recession of its own due to the effects of sanctions. Its economy is expected to shrink by 10% this year and stagnate in 2023. Without a peace agreement that leads to sanctions being relaxed, the EBRD says, its prospects remain bleak. In London, I'm the BBC's Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
To Sri Lanka now, where the Prime Minister has resigned after months of sometimes violent protests over his handling of the country's worst economic crisis in history. Thousands of people have defied a nationwide curfew overnight, attacking government figures and setting fire to shops, homes and businesses there. From Colombo, the BBC's Archana Shukla explains who's in charge of the island nation now.
Mahinda Rajapaksa, the outgoing Prime Minister's younger brother, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, who is at the President's post right now, kind of holds the power to call and reconvene the Parliament, to appoint a new Prime Minister and a Cabinet, both of which will be put to vote. And he has the powers to take decisions, executive decisions for the country.
Now, this outcome is something that protesters who have been outraged for more than a month have been wanting. They've been calling for this. But they also want the Prime Minister's brother's resignation, the president's resignation as well. Do you expect that to happen anytime soon, or is he staying put?
It's very unclear if the president will resign, because if he resigns, then there is a state of political instability on who takes on the reins. The person who takes charge, whether as the prime minister or as the president, should have the credibility with the public as well, because they are the ones who are demanding a change at the top.
We know that turning economies around is a very slow-moving process. And as you said, there isn't really a solid plan in place yet. What kind of action can we expect from the government in the near term?
You need to have people in power to take those decisions. So there has been a proposal by the president to form an all-party unity government who looks onward to a plan of economic revival of the country, especially at this point where they are dependent on financial aid from outside for day-to-day living as well. So that is on the minds. But again, because the opposition is divided, we do not know if they will have a majority government in place. You know, this political instability will have a very hard bearing on any economic revival or financial rescue plan that they are talking. Second set of technical discussions with the International Monetary Fund started yesterday. There are discussions with the World Bank happening. There are discussions with other lenders like China happening. And all of them are looking for some political stability before they can make a commitment on what more can they help and can do for Sri Lanka. So getting the politics stable at this point in time is the utmost priority.
The BBC's Archana Shukla for us in Colombo. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thank you so much.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.